All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very happy to be welcoming back on a guest who's got quite the fight going at February 25th's one championship event, one full circle. We have Vitaly Big Dash and Ong La Unsung getting out there for a high-stakes rubber match, big middleweight trilogy, and always fun talking to Ong La. How's it going, man? Seems like you're pretty locked into the grind of training and everything like that. Now you're feeling good, all things considered?
Yeah, I'm good, Dylan. Like, everything is well. Body feels good, just focus, and gonna put on a great performance on the 25th of February.
Yeah, this is a curious fight for sure. Like, is this, I mean, obviously one you've been waiting quite a long time for, but is it only like fully gonna sink in once you're out there in the circle just because of like the myriad of kind of cancellations and the start and stop timeline with the trilogy, or not so much? Like, you're pretty solid it's going down.
No, I think I'm pretty solid it's going down. You know, it fell through a couple times because of COVID. But, you know, we're back on. We're both vaccinated. And you know, everything should be good. And, I mean, daily I'm reminded, you know, when I'm in Florida training, daily I'm reminded that he's the reason why I moved down to Florida, you know.
Like, you've been, like, the move to Florida was, like, targeted specifically towards this as, like, the end path. Like, all of this has been culminating in this moment. Is that a fair characterization of what you're saying there?
For sure. Yep, for sure. I moved down to Florida because I knew my training, you know, elsewhere wasn't going to be the level of training that I can compete against him in, you know, just different circumstances. And so, when I came down here 4 years ago, he's the reason. And he made me more professional, so I have nothing but, you know, love for him.
Yeah, well, that's the cool aspect of this fight. It doesn't seem like there's any, like, contrived bad blood or any kind of, like, over-the-top storyline that's necessary. It's just, like, two martial artists who've tested skills. It's tied one apiece. There's that respect, but it's like, let's get out there and figure this out.
Yep, exactly, you know. I've made a lot of gains in my game because of him, so I want to thank him, and I have all respect for him, and I know he's a beast, and he showed it in his last fight, so it's going to be fun. I'm excited to battle him.
So probably when he called you out after the fight, the reaction was more of like an excited kind of reaction than feeling like it's some kind of, I guess, quote-unquote, like, call-out or something like that, like a less of a combative thing as opposed to, you're the guy I want to fight. Like, you're top of the totem pole. Let's get her going.
Yeah. I was very thankful, you know. I was very thankful that he gave me he's going to keep me active. He's going to keep me motivated to be a better version of myself. You know, and there's no disrespect when he called me out, you know. But I'm going to make him eat his words.
And I mean, just with you guys sharing, I mean, really close to an hour of cage time together, both of those fights going to unanimous decisions there. I mean, but obviously also, though, those clashes were 5 years ago, with January 2017 being the first fight. Like, just with the backdrop of those first two fights, is it like a preparing to go the distance? Like, this is going to be a war of attrition kind of thing, or just going over all variables, preparing for all outcomes?
No, I think I've grown as a mixed martial artist. I know what to expect from him, and I know he's improved, but I've been a lot more active than he has. So it's going to be a totally different fight for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting one to see. And you were talking about how you've gone over to train at Sanford and how motivated you were from some of the, like, Big Dash fights there. And we've talked about the myriad of, like, body types and, I guess, stylistic proclivities that you get to work with at the gym. Like, I guess who would, like, in a sparring partner context resemble, I guess, like, what you see from Big Dash? Like, are you curating your camp in terms of, like, similar body types and stylistic proclivities? And if so, who out of Sanford MMA would be, like, a good fit for fighting Big Dash here?
Right now I'm working, like, last week and two, because Phil Haas is in camp too, and he's very top heavy, wrestling heavy, and he's powerful, more powerful than Big Dash is. You know, I use Phil as one of my sparring partners, and then Impa, you know, right now he's gained a lot of weight, and it's a good weight, you know, so he's very, very strong and heavy as well. So for me, you know, wrestling was going to be an issue with him and him being on top. So I have these two guys that are very, very strong, plus some more, you know, like Ian Heinich is there as well, Garrett Fosdick, and even the heavier weight guys, like Steve Maury, and we have Linton Vassell as well, Darian Abbey, all these younger guys coming up as well. So as far as middleweights, we have a lot of middleweights. So I work with them on my grappling side. And then on the striking side, I work with the faster welterweights, like, you know, Jason Jackson, Ian Gary. These guys are fast, man. These guys are fast, way faster than Big Dash is going to be. Vicente Luque, you know. So these guys are the guys that I'm working on the feet with. So they give me a better look than I'm going to see. That's what I think, at least. You know, that's what I'm striving for, at least.
Yeah, I always love seeing the different posts there. It looked like you and Jason Jackson got in some good wrestling and strength and conditioning there in one of the posts there and whatnot. But I even love the dynamics at Sanford, where even people you're not necessarily like sparring with who are in close proximity to your weight division, like even say someone like Martin Ewan there, it seems like there's just like strong bonds and that camaraderie there. And like I said, even though the physical technique not necessarily being worked with some of the smaller guys, probably still some refinement and picking each other's brain and stuff like that, I would think, at least.
It's like high level guys at 145, like Herbert Burns, like he teaches me jujitsu, you know. You have even Claudio, you know, Claudio Puello from Peru?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah. He's got really good leg locks too, you know, so he teaches me stuff too. Like, all these guys are martial arts through and through, and it's all, you know, friendship, good energy, and just, like, no drama at all. And, you know, at least right now, it's like, the vibe is good, everybody positive, working towards, you know, getting better. And there's no drama in the gym, so it's great.
I was going to say, you talk about some of the leg locks you've been learning lately. What are the odds we see you do an Imanari roll and get a leg lock in this Big Dash trilogy?
Very low. I have something else planned for him. So.
Maybe something similar to the last fight, like maybe more the stand-up, like what you showed with Leandro Ataitis there.
Yeah. We'll see. I can't. If I tell you now, you're not going to come watch the fight.
Oh, well, I'm always curious to watch an Ong La fight, but I get what you mean, not trying to get you to reveal the game plan or not. I mostly brought up the Ataitis fight to kind of bring up a video that I'd kind of seen around the fight, though. Like, it looked like the TV was on at your home there, and it looked like your daughter was around and everything like that. That must have been a cool thing to kind of see thereafter and whatnot. Like, I imagine that filled you with a lot of joy to see that.
Sure, 100%. I almost cried out of joy, you know, as you say, I want, which is like dad in my language. I want. Kind of cool, man.
Oh, it's really cool, man.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you find your son watches the fights sometimes too? Like, I saw you had a post, like.
He used to love it. Now he's like, not too interested in it. He's like, oh, I want to. He's such a gentle soul, you know. My boy is not going to be a fighter in the next generation. Like, the fighter is going to be like Teal's 6-year-old son is like one of like Ong's best friend, and he wants to be a fighter. He's got really great punches already.
I was going to say, maybe your son's going to gravitate more towards the math and computers as per that post you had there circa summer.
Yes. He's going to be, he loves computer programming, coding, and stuff like that. So, he loves the game, you know, what's that game called? It's a computer game where they built stuff, Minecraft.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You play it, Dylan?
No, I actually don't, but I'm like, I have a few buddies who are into that kind of stuff and whatnot. It must be cool to see your son kind of developing his own interests and whatnot and finding his own lane there.
Yeah, he's a sweet little boy, man. Life is about, like, fighting is so hard, man. I don't wish it upon somebody that doesn't want to do it. You know, when you get in a case against somebody that doesn't really want to do it, you know.
Have you ever had an experience in any of your fights where you sensed that from an opponent? Like, are you saying that from like a direct experience or more just like cornering people and seeing others fight? Like, when have you seen, I guess, I mean, not necessarily a specific example, but have you seen distinct instances of that? Like, oh, this guy really doesn't want to be here at all.
Yeah, 100%. Even with myself, like when I started fighting in the beginning, I was like, why the hell am I here? I look around, all these people cheering. Damn, why am I doing this? You know? I grew up like that. You know, I grew up like I'm usually like a pretty chill and nice guy, right? Like,
Oh yeah.
so in a cage situation, it's different, you know? It's like you're walking in the cage and you're looking around like, okay, why am I doing this again? Yeah.
Do you have any kind of like pre-fight process that orients you to getting into more of a competitive mindset? I mean, you have such a, wealth of experience. Like, have you, I guess, curated like a pre-fight methodology to subvert those feelings, or is it just always going to be there just because of how high stress the situation is?
No, you have some breathing method, you know. That's why I worked with a sports psychologist before. You have some breathing methods. You have like focal words that you say, and just like, and now it's my job. Like I get it. Like I made peace with it. I was born up to do this, you know. I was put on earth to do this. There's no other way around it, you know. So now it's pretty it gets pretty easy when I made peace with it.
Yeah, and this is shaping up to be a cool looking card in a lot of ways, especially in terms of like representation for your division there, just with, Kamaran Abasov and Rainier DeRidder fighting for the title in the main event. But I was also, I saw you saying it'd be cool to see like Yushin Okami and Leandro Attidis for that card. Do you just have like a, because it seems like you have a vested interest in seeing a lot of the middleweights kind of shine. Like, is it a dynamic where you just want to see the middleweight division do well overall? Like, I mean, obviously you have an individual motivation with your own career, but it seems like you're really trying to put a spotlight on the entire middleweight class.
Trying to elevate the game, you know, trying to elevate the middleweight bouts, and I want to fight all of them. So, you know, with this, you know, with COVID and all, nothing is certain. You know, my one fight might fall and.
Beyond you being a high-level middleweight and a former champion in the division, obviously you have history with both of the guys to varying degrees. Like, you have the pair of fights with DeRidder, but it also seemed like there was a period where Abasov was calling you out a little bit, and you were kind of like, "Hey, buddy, like, what's the deal here?"
Yeah, so I'm down to fight anybody. And the more bouts they put in, the more likely I'm gonna be able to fight.
Yeah, and I love that attitude. And really, a lot of it's just predicated on who ends up winning whatever fight. Like, I imagine if Yushin Okami impressively beat Leandro Attidis, like, that fight could maybe make sense. Like, it seems like Okami is someone you also have interest in testing skills with.
Yep, exactly. I would love to fight Yushin Okami, you know.
Yeah, that would be a killer fight there. Just very high level middleweights there for sure. And I love the desire to want to stay active all throughout the calendar year. Like, I've seen a couple interviews where you've said three or four fights would be ideal. And
Please, that would be ideal. Yep.
what does that schedule look like? Do you have an idea of that in terms of like which months you would like to compete, like location wise? I guess part of the location question I'm wondering is like how many of those bouts do you think will be in America? Because so much dialogue from one has been centered on that.
I don't care. I'll fly to Singapore every time. I just rack up my miles, my flight miles. I just rack them up.
We're gonna be wrecked.
I could care less where the location is. My backyard, in the mood. A fight's a fight, man. Who cares?
I was like, seeing you fight on the moon would be kind of cool, though, I think. You got to admit.
Yep.
Be racking up quite a few of those 50k bonuses, though, based on the schedule. I imagine that's some, not that it's going to affect your general style because you're so action oriented anyway, but that must be a good sort of look. Like, it's like, hey, if I just go out and compete how I normally compete, odds are I'm just going to be raking in additional paydays there.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to watch a boring fight?
Is there a certain boring fight you have to recommend?
I'm just asking. Do you want to watch a boring fight?
I'm generally not down to watch boring fights. I can't say no.
Yeah, that's why I don't put on boring fights. When I fight, as a fan, like myself as a fan, I would hate to watch a boring fight. That's why when I fight, I always make it action packed. If I'm not there to kill you, you're gonna kill me.
Yeah, I love the mentality for sure, man. And just an interesting landscape with a lot of the matchmaking there with, you know, DJ and Rod Tang having that hybrid rules fight coming up at 1X in March there. Would you ever want to do like a mixed rules sort of bout in that regard? Like maybe mix it up between MMA and another discipline? Like I know I've asked you about Lethwei in the past. Like would you do something like that? Like maybe MMA and Lethwei, like tip of the cap to the old Myanmar martial art?
Sure. But then if you do Lethwei, you have to do Lethwei justice. You would have to do bare hands. And then we'll do MMA bare hands.
So that is something you'd have a certain level of interest in if someone would sign on the dotted line for that.
100%.
I was going to say, is there a competitive curiosity with Lethwei at all, or more just the tradition and being a proud, you know, Myanmar descendant and all of that?
The second one.
That would be really cool. I think that would get a lot of fanfare and everything like that. And I mean, God knows Myanmar needs, you know, some bit of reprieve during what still remains a very difficult time. Like I check in and see what's going on with that, and it's just heartbreaking for me. I can only imagine how it would make, you know, you or people in your family feel, etc.
Yeah, but both Tio and I are really, really, really heartbroken that the country's going backwards right now. You know, it was going great. Everybody was happy. And all of a sudden, you know, we're going back to the dark ages. So at least this is, you know, during this time, at least Tio and I can be at light and represent them and make them feel good for a little bit. I'll give them hope to keep fighting. So
well, I was going to say, was there a...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. I was just going to ask if there was like a level of almost like, I mean, it's hard to say catharsis because there's still a lot going on, but is there a level of like you win that last fight? Maybe there's people from Myanmar reaching out. There's that semblance of them being happy about it. Like, was there, I guess, that kind of like wave of momentum after where it seemed like a lot of like national pride and at least like a little glimmer of hope for a brief period?
Yeah, for the, you know, 5 minutes that I fought, yes. You know, and then the win, yes. But, it's just a sad time, man. You can't even compare. Like when I win, like usually when I win, like in Japan and stuff, you see videos of villagers cheering and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But after Ataidas, you don't see those kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know? Yeah.
So it is like, the reality is the reality, but during at that time, we at least can give them hope and show them that we're still fighting and we're going to keep fighting.
In the one circle, but also some of the enormous stresses you've had with the situation in Myanmar there. So is that like a continued sort of thing you talk about with your therapist? Like, are you getting a level of catharsis from that as well? Or
no, not really. Because his is strictly sports. His is strictly fight related. You know?
No, that's fair. I guess I thought you'd also had like a therapist that you'd talk to about some of the stuff going on there as well, just getting some relief.
Yeah, like he made me like just he allowed me to only think about, you know, or look into the social media at a certain time of the day.
I was gonna say that's a huge bit of advice.
Like 4 o'clock, from 2 p.m. I think I can't remember. I think it was like from 2 p.m. to like only for 30 minutes, 2:30 p.m. That's it. And then I had to not touch my social media or think about it. Does that make sense, Dylan?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like the way to do it. I think a lot of people could learn from that and probably adopt that into their life, realistically.
Yeah, yeah. Or even just, you know, social media, if it's like too much on you, you know, you should only use it for 30 minutes or something like that, you know.
Yeah, that's a good bit of advice for sure, something that the listeners could certainly pick up on. And yeah, I tend to go to that a fair bit myself. But I noticed the post you had on Instagram relatively recently celebrating your, you know, anniversary and one championship there, and you had some throwback picks and stuff like that. Like, how cool has it been to, you know, have that individual growth and then see one championship's growth by proxy? It seems like a cool journey for yourself and the organization too.
100%, 8 years. We did some good stuff in the 8 years, you know. We did some bad stuff, but we did some good stuff too, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think it's gonna be the next 4 years gonna be even better. If we keep growing and we keep doing the right things with the right values, I think the next 4 years is gonna be better.
And is that the nature of your...
What do you think?
What do I think about the next 4 years for you?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's going to...
The next 4 years in general. Yeah, for me, one championship, and then for yourself. You think it'll be better?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I'm an optimistic guy to a fault, man. I actually won an award for that at my high school prom. They're like, oh, yeah, this guy's most optimistic. So, I mean, I'm usually going to look on the bright side of things. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of additional growth for yourself, one championship, and... I'm going to grow too. So yeah, it's a lot of good vibes all around.
Yeah.
And you talk about the next few years. Is there anything specifically you have mapped out as like a goal in one championship? Like, I imagine recapturing the middleweight belt would be one, but do you have defined goals over the next 4 years you'd like to actualize there?
Yeah, but you can't talk about too much about your goals, you know, because there's a lot of naysayers and there's a lot of negative people don't want to wish you well to reach those goals, so I can't say it out loud to you right now. But I have some big goals.
Yeah, that would strike me as weird if someone was hating on you. You strike me as a very nice guy, but the internet is a very weird place. But sometimes it can be a fun place. Like I saw on... Yeah, no doubt, man. But I saw on Twitter circa September there, Jason Statham was starring in The Beekeeper, and I saw Tom Taylor was like, oh, if they're smart, they'll hire former beekeeper Ong La On Song as a consultant. Have you gotten the call for that movie, or they leave you hanging? I feel like they should get you on board.
No. I never even heard of it.
I just saw you retweeted, and I thought that was fun.
Yeah, why not, right? Cast me in that beekeeping movie. I'm definitely not going to be able to fight 4 times a year then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that would probably derail those plans there. But that's kind of an interesting career path there. I presume the fighting is something more oriented to your interests and stuff like that. Or did you enjoy the beekeeping and there were some cool aspects?
I enjoyed everything about beekeeping, man. I enjoy everything about beekeeping. So I enjoy every bit of beekeeping and you know, but my passion and my love was for MMA, and that's the reason why I left beekeeping.
Could it maybe be something you revisit when your competitive career is done? Like maybe do some beekeeping thereafter? Like, would that hold some interest?
For sure, I would. It's so low maintenance, and it's good for the environment, and it's a sweet job.
Yeah, that sounds really cool, man. And yeah, that's an interesting line of work for sure, and a lot of great jobs.
And I could even set up beehives for other people like yourself if you want to.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be really nice, man. I'd be down. I had to get some insight into something, though, real quick. One of the last sort of questions that I had here. I saw a couple weeks ago on Instagram, you had a caption there where you said, like a wise Burmese man once said, we are coming hard. And then I think in the comments you were saying it was like related to TL Tong there. Like, what's the, I feel like I've seen a couple things relating to the whole him saying we are coming hard thing. Like, what's the backstory on this? Am I missing something here?
Well, TL asked in one of his fights, right? Like, he's the most, like, he says the most random stuff, you know, at the gym and stuff. And he, like, sometimes, like, it sounds inappropriate, you know? And right after the fight, he was like, he says, after he thanked all those people, he says, bantamweight, I'm coming hard, you know? And all of a sudden, like, I thought that's kind of weird to say hard, like, I'm coming hard. and on the group chat, like, right away, I didn't think much of it, right? I didn't think much of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't think people would, like, kind of find the joke funny, you know, like yourself, you understand, you kind of find it funny, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, in our group chat, one of our guys make, like, a gif. Well, I'm coming hard. And it went on like that for like 30 minutes. I mean, not 30 minutes, like for like a minute. Like just those, I'm coming hard. And the slow motion one. It's so funny. Yeah. That's why.
Oh, I love that. That's so good. I don't think I can add anything else that'll top that there. So to that point, is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, Ong?
Yeah. So Teal and I will be fighting next month. We're working very hard. We're going to put on some good shows. We can't promise a win or a loss, you know, but we can promise that we're going to go out there and we're going to put the best show that we can. And do everything it takes to get the win. And you guys are in for the treat. And thank you for all the support. Thank you for all the love. And people in Myanmar, just people all around the world, stay strong and do what's right.